1, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 21. The Bible says there, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." You may be seated this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you once again, seeking your direction, seeking your touch. I need the liberty and the unction that every man needs that stands and preaches the word of God. I want, Lord, my desire is that they may hear from you this morning and not from me. I ask, God, that you'd bless us with worship. I ask, Lord, that you'd put all the thoughts that's contrary, the things that we brought in here, Lord, would you put them at bay and let us think upon you. You're worthy to be worshipped this morning, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Even if you've done nothing, Lord, you being God alone is worthy of our worship. I thank you, Lord, for calling me to this church. And thank you, Lord, for the visitors here this morning. It encourages our heart, Lord. Let us have something to give this morning. I beg it of you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing in reverence to the Word of God, and thank you so much for praying with me and praying for me this morning. As we come to this portion of Scripture, of course, we know that this is where a woman, she is called Eve later on, and she's also called the mother of all life. If you're alive here this morning, you come from that seed of that woman, Eve, which we inherited. As you know, sin was passed down through that, sin down to you. So we are have an inheritance of sin, but we also have a sin nature. We sin because that is our nature. Even if a child was born without the inherited sin of Eve, he would still sin because that's our very nature to sin. That's why Christ never did sin, couldn't sin, because he did not have that nature of sin upon him. But I want to preach this morning about Eve, and Eve being a type of the church, and Adam here being a type of Christ. I'm glad the Old Testament has pictures and shadows and types that bring forth a fulfillment or clarity upon the truths in the New Testament. Both books go hand in hand together. And the Old Testament is pointing forward the whole time, saying, "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming." And the New Testament looks back and say, he came, and he's coming again. Aren't you glad of that? And we look in the Old Testament at these types, and they're always pointing toward Christ, pointing toward that truth. And I like to preach upon this type this morning about Eve being a type of the church, and Adam being a type of Christ. First of all, I want to bring to your attention the beginning of Eve. The beginning of Eve. Don't you notice how that Eve was brought forth out of Adam? She come out of the side of Adam. I want to tell you this morning, that's where the church was born. Amen. It come out of Christ. Hallelujah. It come from his very side. Whence that Roman soldier punctured his side upon Calvary's hill, and there come forth blood and water. I'm going to tell you, there came also a bride out of that side. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be part of the bride of Christ. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm part of this church. I'm glad that I come out of my second Adam, not the fleshly Adam, but that spiritual Adam. I come out of him, and because of that, I can live forevermore. Amen. The church wasn't a second thought. The church wasn't an alternative. That church wasn't a mulligan, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the church was in the heart of God before the foundation of the world, that he would call out an assembly among the people and put his stamp upon them, make them a peculiar people, and call them the bride of Christ. Amen. You say, Anthony, you're one ugly bride. Oh, you're seeing me with them fleshly eyes. If you could see me through those spiritual eyes, you'd say, oh, what beauty that man has. Hallelujah. Because he's part of the bride of Christ. He come out. She came out of Adam. Come out the side. Not only that, she come through the blood. This is the first time blood was ever shed. There was no shedding of blood up to this point. But he cut on that side, and there come the bride. I'm going to tell you, I'm still a bloody preacher, amen. I still believe it takes the blood of Christ to wash away all sins. A lot of this new age wants to get rid of the blood and want to say, well, just decide in your heart what you want to do. I'm going to tell you, that ain't it. I'm going to tell you, nothing cleanses sin. It's still the blood this morning, and it'll be the blood of 1,000 years from now, all the way through eternity. It's that kingly, spotless, godless, godly blood that come on the cross of Calvary, and it's still the blood this morning. Amen. If you're lost here this morning and don't know Christ, I'm going to tell you, it's still the blood that saves an old wretched sinner. Amen. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk. That still blows my mind. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you, an old dirty, rotten black sinner can be washed in the red blood rivers of Calvary and come out white as snow this morning. And it's still true. Amen. Have you been washed in the blood? I'm glad I have. I remember one time somebody said, Anthony got saved and he's going to get baptized. And they said, well, they better baptize him in Ajax, hallelujah, to get all that stuff on him. It didn't take Ajax. It didn't take any type of special chemical, hallelujah. I'm telling you, every bit of my sins, all of them that way, and all of them that way, was cleansed by the very blood of Christ. Aren't you glad of that? You come through the side. That's how the church comes about. This church ain't this building here. This is a place we come. This is a church house, a church building. But the church is the people, hallelujah. If this place burns down, it might help us a little bit. It might get a little insurance, get paid off real quick in Sam, hallelujah. We'll just get insurance, pay for it, hallelujah. We'll build us a little steel building over here. But that ain't, the church ain't burned down, hallelujah. His church will keep going on and on and on. He said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Why is that? Because it was born in the blood of Christ, and it'll go forth until we get over here in Revelation 4 when he says, come up hither, and he raptures that great church and his bride home to him. And I can't wait for that, amen. I hope it's today. It came from the side. But if you notice, he said he put him on a deep sleep. Did you see that in the scripture? He said he put Adam in a deep sleep. I wish I had some of that. I fight sleep. It seems like you ever wake up and you look at your watch and you hope it's 5 o'clock so that you can get up. You know, I get up and I hit my watch and I say, boy, I hope it's 5:30 so I can go ahead and get up. And it'll say 3 o'clock and I'm like, oh, I've got to try to go back to sleep. And I'll sit there. And you young people don't know that. Y'all sleep to noon and go to bed whenever, you know. But when you're an old person, man, you just fight sleep and fight sleep. And I sit there and I say, oh, it's 3 o'clock. What am I going to do? Sit here and do all my business in my head for 2 hours before I can get back to sleep. And then I'll finally get back to sleep. And I'll look up and it'll be 3:33. And I think, boy, I slept for 2 minutes. Well, that's a blessing. And I just fight. I wish I had some of that deep sleep Adam had. Hallelujah. But the Bible said he put him under deep sleep. And you say, well, Christ wasn't under a deep sleep. Oh, no, no, he wasn't under deep sleep. But when he went to Calvary, he went more than a deep sleep. He gave his life. No one took his life. He laid it down freely. Hallelujah. He done more than a deep sleep. He took death upon himself for us. Hallelujah. That's how the Christ done, and how the church was born, was under that deep sleep, or that death that Christ done on the cross of Calvary. Amen. That's what happened. He brought us forth. So we see the beginning of Eve. But not only that, I want to show you the bringing of Eve. You say, what are you talking about? We see how she was begun. But the Bible says there that God took her by the hand and brought her to Adam. I like it. Hey, Eve just didn't say, you know what? Oh, Adam, he's a good-looking feller. Look at all those muscles. I think he's the one. Well, bless God, he's the only one. I hope she liked him. Amen. I mean, it's short to chew that. But that ain't how it happened. Eve didn't get her eyes on Adam and say, boy, he's a good-looking thing. No, that ain't how it happened. No, God took his hand and said, come here, Eve. You don't have a clue what you're doing. You don't have a clue, woman, what you're doing. So let me take your hand, and I'm going to bring you over here, and I'm going to introduce you to Adam. And she says, he brought her unto Adam. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, when I was out lost and undone in sin, well, I didn't want anything to do with the church. I made fun of the church. I thought the church was a bunch of dummies up there just to listen to a man scream to them and singing the same song on and on. And I thought pastors, all they done was eat fried chicken and drive Cadillacs. And I don't do neither one of those things, amen. But I'm telling you, that's what I thought. But one day, hallelujah, God, by the Holy Ghost of God, got my hand, hallelujah, and brought me unto my heavenly Adam. I didn't have enough sense to come myself. I didn't want anything to do with those things. But God took me by the hand, by cords of love and conviction and drawing power. And the Holy Ghost introduced me to Adam and said, this is your dearly beloved. Introduce me to him. Amen. That's how it happened. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I wanted to run. I wanted to run up down these roads and say, you know, and this might be a little personal, but I'm a personal preacher. The one thing that I just do not like, and like I said, this is personal. You guys are good people. You don't have to fight this. But you know one thing I don't like about being a Christian? I don't like being nice. I don't know why I looked at Kathy and said, yeah, I don't know why I done it. I mean, I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, I don't like being nice. You know, because most people, in my opinion, it's hard to be nice to. You know, like the lady that's driving 20 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone, it's hard to be nice to her. You know, and it's when you go through the checkout lane and that old person wants to tell them 3 hours of their life history and nobody cares. And you're sitting behind them doing this and thinking, you know, I don't care. She don't care. Nobody cares. I know you're lonely. I don't know what to tell you, but please go on. But you got to be nice because I'm a pastor. So you sit there and say, oh, bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen. Bless you. That bless your heart. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. But I am so glad that that man is inside of me, had brought me, because I didn't want anything to, I like being mean, I like being rough, I was born on a tobacco field and a football field, I got kicked out of the Marine Corps for fighting, I enjoyed all those things, I was good at my sin, hallelujah, I'm glad he got me by the hand, and he has broken me like a wild stallion, hallelujah, and brought me to Jesus Christ, and now I go to church and I weep and I love, but he's still working on me, hallelujah, amen, I'm still undone. But then when Adam seen her, he didn't say, boy, she's a looker. He didn't say that. Oh, he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I love you. Do you know why, Christians, that it's so hard if you're really trying to live right? Now, if you're out here just doing anything you want to, it ain't hard. My daughter all the time, she's like, I'm eating better, and she keeps getting plumper. And I'm thinking, maybe you need to go back to eating worser. And I think, well, dieting ain't hard for her because she's on them seafood diets. She just eats everything she sees. Amen. That ain't a hard diet. I mean, I can probably handle that diet. But that's why a lot of Christians don't suffer because they're just doing anything they want to. They're just living like a world doing this, and they just come to church and just mark it off the box. But I'm telling you, if every day you wake up, today I'm a Christian, even though it's Monday. And even though it's Monday, I'm going to get in that book and I'm going to get on my knees. It's Tuesday, but I'm going to get back on my knees. I need God. I need that book. I'm not just a Christian on Sunday. And if you live that way, do you know why it's hard? Because I'm flesh of his flesh and I'm bone of his bone. And the Bible says I'm going to partake in his sufferings. And how did they treat Jesus Christ? And we wonder why our life should just be glory, 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 happy, happy, happy. Through our website, somebody sent me this email and it got forwarded to me and it said, can please pray for me so that I won't have all these troubles and I'll have fun and entertainment. And I thought, well, God help, I need the Christian walk. Amen. Judy, do you think it's fun, me pastoring? All I carry on my back constantly. And I don't see people at church, you know, first thing I think, well, they got mad at me somehow. What did I say? Did I say something wrong? I'm sorry if I did. I wasn't trying to hurt somebody's feelings. I worry about what you're doing during the week and how you're feeling and should I go by and visit them? Or I'm going to make them mad if I go by and visit them. Should I call them? Or shouldn't I call them? Or what should I do? I went to a couple of games with these girls. I'm like, am I out of place? Do they want me here? Do they not want me here? And I'm just trying to show people I love people and I care about people. I mean, that burden's on me constantly. Every hour of the day. And it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. But God said, that's partaking of that suffering. Do you think that the cross was light? Do you think those cat of nine tails is light? And we think our lives, we're supposed to go through life like a bunch of Smurfs. Lie, 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 lie. And we wonder, why is life so hard? Because you partake in those sufferings. It's supposed to be hard. I told some of these young people in here, anything worth doing in life is hard. It's hard. You know, it's hard. Everybody wants their own business, but nobody wants to go out and take tests and take out incorporation papers and take out checking accounts and assume names and fight IRS tooth and nail and try to do everything right and pay workers comp and lobby. But everybody wants this. I'm telling you, it's hard. It's tough. And to walk this straight line and have communion with Christ, this world's going to bombard you daily and beat you and beat you and beat you. And it's the sufferings that we're partaking of because we're flesh of his flesh and we're bone of his bone. But I got good news. If we partake with sufferings on this side, we'll partake with glory on that side. Amen. That's why when I come to church, I'm just not so. Some people walk in church. And I know you go through things. But guess what? So do I. We all do. Amen. We all do. We all go through things. Amen. We all have times of suffering. But my eyes not on the suffering. My eyes on the glory. When I get to that other side and I get me a new body that don't hurt all the time, amen, that I don't wake up and figure out what's going to work right today and what's not going to work right today. And my eyes are getting me so bad that I'm going to have to get, you know, somebody to hold up cue cards so I can read my Bible. I mean, it gets worse and worse and worse, but I'm tickled to death. And why that is? Because I'm partaking of his glory. Hallelujah. And when God looks at me, he don't look at me anymore. He sees the Son because I'm partaker of his glory. I'm joint heirs of heaven. I'm at the same level as Jesus Christ. Yeah. Think of that. I'm partakers of his glory. So we see the beginning of Eve and we see the bring of Eve. And now we're going to see the beguiling of Eve. So Eve was out by herself one day, and there was two trees that had distinct names in the Garden of Eden. One was a tree of life that they could freely partake of, and the other was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that the Lord said you could not eat of this. And Eve walked by, and all of a sudden a serpent talked to her. Evidently serpents could talk back in that day, because if today, if a serpent talked to me, it'd be the quickest, deadest serpent you'd ever seen. I would stomp number 13 right on its head about as many times as I could. I'd say, that serpent is possessed, hallelujah. It needs to die. But Eve started talking back to it. I don't know why, but she talked back to it. Now, Satan believed in God. He never questioned it wasn't a God. He believed. He believed. He just wasn't redeemed. But he believed, and he started questioning the word of God. Oh, surely you won't die. You'll be gods like them that you'll know good and evil. And Eve took of that fruit. Some say it was an apple. I don't know if it was an apple. I don't know if it was a mango, a fig, a piece of corn. I don't know what it was. But it was something, a fruit of that tree. And she ate of that. And it's not the fruit that causes sin. It was going against God's word that caused the sin, because God told her not to do that. Her eyes got opened up, and she took that fruit to Adam. Amen. And Adam looked at her, said, "Something's different. You got taken this." And at that point, Adam thought this: if I don't partake of this, I'll have no communion with her, because this sin is separating us. How am I supposed to ever have communion? I love Eve. I love this woman. I love her. How am I supposed to have communion with her unless I partake of this? So he was not the deceived, the Bible says, but he openly, not being deceived, took a part of that sin so that he could have communion with Eve. Do you realize that Adam did not get that fruit from Satan? He got it from Eve. You know why that is? Because Christ never got defeated by Satan. He won in the wilderness. He won up in heaven. He won on the cross. He never received any sin from Satan. Every bit of the sin he partook on himself come from the church, come from me and you, come from Eve. That sin, he openly looked at his bride and said, the only way that he can be, Anthony can be redeemed, is that it takes a kinsman redeemer to redeem. And I'm going to have to put on a robe of flesh. And I'm going to have to come down there that starlit morning in that manger in Bethlehem. And I'm going to have to become a kinsman redeemer to redeem Anthony. And he knew that he's taking on that sin for me and for you. He didn't take no sin from Satan. He got it all from the church. Do you know who killed Christ? You did. And I did. We killed him. He gladly took on that sin because he said, I want to be partakers of that sin. Did you notice one thing? I've got about 5 minutes left. That Eve never got a name from God. Did you ever notice that? When you read that? He always called her woman. He never called her Eve until she took of that sin. And then the Bible says, Adam named her. You say, that ain't very interesting. Well, I'm getting ready to tell you why it's so interesting. I was a nobody. I was a nothing. I had no name. Until my Savior came to me and partook of my sin. And then he gave me a name. And that new name's written up in heaven. So this nobody, this nothing, has got a name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, hallelujah, that my Savior gave me, and I've got a new name written down in heaven, hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Eve, the top of the church. Rita, would you come to the piano? I'm going to sing a song before you come. Don't try to play the piano to it, because your prettiness will mess up my ugliness. I like this song. I've sung it 2 or 3 times because this is my story. Once my clothes were ragged, the world looked down on me. I had no hope for tomorrow, nor for eternity. Then grace came with mercy and heard this orphan's plea. Now I've been adopted, from bondage I'm set free. I'm no longer an orphan. Someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered. My bondage has been set free. I came so empty-handed, no place to call my home. No one really loved me, but now look what I own. I'm feasting on the manna that comes from God on high. And there is no shortage, there is a vast supply. I'm no longer an orphan, someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered, my family is royal.